Amen. Is anybody ready for the word today? Amen. We're excited to have Brother Maurice McDavid, his wife Samantha, and two girls with us today. Brother McDavid is the Dean of Students at DeKalb High School and also an associate pastor at DeKalb United Pentecostal Church. Will we make him welcome as he comes with the word today?
Praise the Lord, everybody. Come on, that's it. Give them some praise this morning. Lift up your hands. Lift up your voice. Mighty God, we worship you, Lord Jesus. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, mighty God. We bless you, for you are great and greatly to be praised. Amen, amen, amen. You may be seated for just a moment. Amen. I'm not going to sing. Because I wouldn't be as cute as those kids. And I wouldn't sound as good if I'm honest. Praise God. Amen. I am absolutely honored to be here with each and every one of you. I give honor again to your church leadership. Amen. To Brother Rogers, Pastor Rogers, as well as Pastor Cotton. We have just grown in friendship over the years, and I appreciate sincerely their trust in me to allow me to come and preach the word to you all, particularly on Educator Appreciation Sunday. Amen. One more time, if you came up and got a gift, would you stand? And I just want to see you again so I know who you are. Amen. Amen. You all may be seated. I want you to know this morning as I prepare to preach, I just want you to know you're an example. You are. Regardless of whether or not you signed up for that, it's funny, you'll hear some superstar athletes say, hey, I didn't sign up to be a role model. I signed up to play basketball, or I signed up to play football. But the truth of the matter is, teachers, I hope you understand, regardless of what you signed up to do, you're a role model. There are people who you may be the only positive image that they see. What an opportunity, what a blessing, and what a responsibility. Amen. This morning, before I even get into the word, I do want to take just a moment. Last night was our high school hosted a Relay for Life for a man named Atash Shakir. He was a dear friend of mine. He worked at the high school as a world geography teacher. And last February, he was diagnosed with colon cancer, and June 16th, he passed away. And so last night, they hosted at the high school a Relay for Life on behalf of cancer research. And I just told his wife, I said, well, I can't be there because I'm not driving to Urbana at 6 a.m. on a Sunday morning, having stayed up all of the night for Relay for Life. But I just want you to know I'm going to share your husband's name because he was a tremendous example of an educator. A year after his passing, there are still children in our high school who mourn his passing but celebrate the life that he lived. And if you would like to be a hero, be a teacher. If you'd really like somebody to look up to you, be a teacher. Amen. So once again, for all of our educators, why don't we give them one more hand clap? Amen. I thank you, all of those of you that are here this morning as guests. Amen. Who have come in as educators, we thank you for being here. Amen. I want to bore you for just a moment. Okay, so I hope I don't lose you all together, but I want to bore you for just a moment. I'm going to read you some Illinois school code. Anybody, that sounds exciting? I mean, even my administrators over here are giggling like, no, please don't. Read from the book of Numbers, please. Read Numbers instead of reading that. Just list every generation of Israel rather than reading school code. But just stick with me, okay? Amen. The school district, here's what it says, a school or school district may deny enrollment to a student 17 years of age or older for one semester for failure to meet the minimum attendance standards if all of the following conditions are met. One of those conditions are this: the student is absent without valid cause for 20% or more of the attendance days in the current semester. A second one would be the student is suspended or expelled for disciplinary measures. Okay, I want you to keep those in mind. Keep those in mind. That you can exclude a student from school if they don't go to school at least 20%, if they miss more than 20% of the days, or if based on their behavior, they are expelled from school for disciplinary measures. I want you to keep that in mind. We are here today to honor educators, and we appreciate what educators do in our nation and in our state and in our communities and for individual lives that you touch each and every day, educators. We say thank you. And I will tell you that as I began to pray about this service, God put this thought on my heart almost immediately. I've read for you some school code that talks about excluding people if they mess up, or excluding people if they've missed too much school, excluding people for small things along the way. But I want to talk to you this morning about a schoolmaster who's not here looking to exclude anybody. I want to talk to you this morning about a schoolmaster who says, yeah, I know you've messed up, but there's still room. I know you've fallen, but there's still room. I know you weren't at church last week, but there's still room. I know your attendance hasn't been great, but there's still room. A schoolmaster who's not looking to exclude, but a schoolmaster who's looking to include somebody. Amen. If you have your Bibles, would you please stand with me very quickly and turn to Matthew chapter 20 and verse 1. And we're going to read through verse 7. Matthew chapter 20, verse 1 says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into the vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you.' So they went. Again, he went out about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and said to them, 'Why have you been standing here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one hired us.' He said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, you will receive.'" This morning, in which we honor educators and thus knowledge, I want to preach a message simply entitled, "The Final Exam." The Final Exam. Amen. Would you put your Bibles down? Would you lift up your hands and your voice? Let's go to the Lord in prayer one more time this morning. Heavenly Father, we bless you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you for your kindness towards us. We thank you for the educators that are here today. We thank you, Lord, understanding every parent here is an educator. Every family member is an educator. Everyone who helps to impact the life of a child, mighty God, you have given them a call to see not just this moment, mighty God, but to see beyond. And so we pray, Lord, that you would help me to decrease, that you might increase. Let your word go forward, bringing honor to those to whom honor is due. But mighty God, most importantly, Lord, inviting your spirit to move and to minister in this place. We ask it all right now in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. You all may be seated. School code requires that students be there at least 80% of the time. What if church attendance was like that? I figure if I'm going to preach, I might as well mess with somebody right away. Well, what if the pastor took note of the fact that you've missed 21% of the services? and you were expelled from the church. Oh, come on now. They say you've got to be at 80% of the services. I'm sorry. See, now I got my mind messed up. 80% of the school days. We know some of the reasons that school attendance is important. We know that if students are not in class, oftentimes they are not learning. We know that when students are not in class, they have the likelihood to be, in this day and age, just as likely to be home with a parent as they are home by themselves. And so it is important. We have mandated that school be something that students attend until the age of 17. In fact, just a quick history lesson, we understand that it was actually the Reformation that really brought about the concept of a public schooling. Prior to the Reformation, many folk believed that it was just the church leader who needed to be able to read the Bible. But when Martin Luther came and said, no, 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 you need to read the scripture yourself, it became important that you know how to read. Anybody grateful for knowing how to read? I'm grateful I know how to read because I get to read lots of things, but I'm truly grateful that I've got the Word of God and I've had a chance to read it and to experience it. I'm not doing it just based off of what you told me, but I've read the Word myself. And so when I begin to say I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, it's not just what somebody told me, but I read it myself, and what a difference it makes. Being in school is important. If you're not there, learning becomes challenging. I'm telling you, especially in the day and age in which we live. And I will make the comparison. I will draw the comparison between a school building and the church. In fact, Paul did. Paul said in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching. Listen, I know that we've come to have a celebratory service, and we're honoring educators, and we've got guests in the house, but you all started off the service with breakthrough, so I figured we're just going to have Pentecostal church, regardless of who's here. Listen, I've come to let somebody know I see the day approaching. I see his return coming. That means it's all the more important to get here. It's all the more important to be here, to fellowship, to be in his word, to be in his presence. It's important that you are at church. The scripture would simply say that as you see the final exam approaching, can I put it that way? Some of y'all like to skip class. But what I have found is that when it comes time for final exams, they like to go to class. I've seen some funny things happen. I've seen people go to teachers that they haven't gone to class all semester, and they'll say, is there any extra credit I can do? You didn't do the regular credit. You want me to give you extra credit because the final exam is coming and now all of a sudden you want to be ready? No, listen, I want to be ready. I want to be prepared for when the trumpet sounds. I want to be ready for when it sounds. I don't want to just go to Jesus. Hey, is there any extra credit, Jesus? But no, he said, if you'll come, I'll prepare you. I'll take care of you. I'll get you ready. He is the best school teacher. He's the best one there is. So if we'll come and be in his midst, if we'll come and be with him, he'll have us ready for the final exam. You know, one of the beautiful things about being in class as a student, and when I was a teacher, I encouraged this, and many great educators do. There are times where I might not explain things exactly the way that a kid's going to learn it. Any educators know that? That's one of the beautiful things about group work, is that we can say, hey, I know that Jonathan gets it really well. I know that Dante understands it really well. So Billy, why don't you come sit with Jonathan and Dante, and they'll explain it to you. That's one of the beautiful things about being in class, is that there's other folk that can help you. Here's what I'm trying to say. The Bible says in Romans 12:15, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Listen, it's not meant for you to weep alone if you're part of the church. It's not meant for you to rejoice alone if you're part of the church. I want to rejoice with you. I want to weep with. Come on, somebody, hear what I'm saying. Listen, I'm not mad because you got an A on the test. Let me rejoice with you. Why don't you study with me? Help me to figure something out. Help me to be a part of that success that you're having. I want to rejoice when you rejoice. I'll weep when you weep. See, sometimes though, we do. We get that grade envy. We get that grade envy. So-and-so got an A on the test. Right, in real life, so-and-so just drove in that new Lincoln. I'm still in a Chevy Equinox. Don't get mad at them because God blessed them. Rejoice with them. Listen, that's the beauty of having a brother. Because look, maybe he'll give me a ride in the Lincoln after church and we can cruise together. I'm going to rejoice with my neighbor. I'm going to be excited with them. But at the same time, sometimes when people are going through things, I ain't got time for sadness. I got too many things going the right way. I don't have time for sadness. Y'all be sad over there. That's the sad crew, right? Instead, weep with them. Weep with them. It's okay. Grab them by the shoulder and say, hey, listen, I know you're struggling right now. Hey, listen, I know things aren't going your way, but listen, we're a part of the body of Christ. And if you hurt, I hurt. If you fall, I fall. If you've got sickness, come on, somebody hear what I'm saying this morning. We've got to rejoice with them that rejoice and weep with them that weep. Being together is so important that the author in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42 and 46, listen, here's 42, it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. How many believe the apostles' doctrine is still important? I still believe Acts 2:38. I still believe repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the Holy Ghost. I believe it so much I memorized it in Spanish. Y Pedro les dijo, arrepentíos y bautízase cada uno de vosotros en el nombre de Jesucristo para el perdón de los pecados y recibiréis el don del Espíritu Santo. That's how much I believe it. I taught Spanish. Don't worry, I taught Spanish. But listen, here's what he follows up the apostles' doctrine with. He says, and they continued in the doctrine and in fellowship. So you're telling me that in the same sentence as this Acts 2:38 message was the idea that we need one another, that we got to be here in order to help one another get ready for the final exam, so that way if you fall, I can go to my brother humbly and help him back up, lest I fall off. Come on, somebody, hear what I'm saying this morning. I need you. They continued steadfastly, not only in the doctrine, but in fellowship. Oh, and Pentecostals, breaking of bread, hey. We love to break bread. Hey, man, I hear my young people in the high school, somebody will walk up with a bag of Flamin' Hot. Hey, break bread, brother. Break bread. I said, ooh, y'all sound Pentecostal in here. But sitting across the table from somebody, asking them, how's work going? Oh, you're struggling? Can I pray for you? Oh, you're blessed? Hey, let me dance with you. There's something about being here in the house of God that makes a difference. Verse 46 says, they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking of bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. We have a thing at DeKalb High School. We are the DeKalb Barbs. Go ahead, chuckle. It's okay. It's all right. Not going to hurt me. Now, I graduated from DeKalb High School, so I'm a barb through and through. Barbed wire was created there, and so I guess we're just one of those individual pokey things on the wire, okay? We're the DeKalb Barbs. But through the state of Illinois, there's no other Barb. There's lots of knights. There's lots of warriors. There's still the occasional Redskins. I don't know how that's still in there. Somebody change that. Amen. But there's still some of those. But there's only one Barb. And so we talk about in our school the idea that we have the heart of a Barb. There's something that unites us. If you have gone to DeKalb High School, there's something that unites you. It's the heart of a Barb. Listen, I've come to preach to the church that it's important that you're here because you've got the mind of Christ. You've got the Spirit of God. There is one Spirit, and it unifies us. And when you're not here, part of the body is missing. So come on, be a part of it. We're not going to expel you if you don't make your 80%. Let me not speak. Pastor Cotton, we're not going to expel them, are we? We won't, at least up in DeKalb, I don't know. School code, however, also allows for the expulsion for certain actions. I told you, Brother Cotton mentioned I'm one of the deans of students. And so I get to deal with situations when kids bring hammers to school and keep them in their belt loop because he was afraid of getting jumped. So he brought a hammer to use it as a weapon. Or I get to deal when a kid's Chromebook case has been lost for a few months and inside of it you find cocaine inside of a public school in DeKalb, Illinois. All those issues, they come to me and we get to look at whether it's going to be suspension or whether it'll be a detention or whether it'll be expulsion. And we get to deal with those things in the dean's office. And the school code allows for someone to be expelled from school based on their behavior. They behave, and literally within 10 days, a decision is made that determines their fate for up to the next 2 years based on that decision. I wonder if our behavior would change if we knew that judgment would come in the moment. If the moment we talked back to our teacher, judgment came. If the moment that we were disrespectful to our parent, judgment came. If the moment we told the lie, judgment came. Come on, anybody hear what I'm saying? If eternal judgment would be based on what you did in your lunch period on Monday. And while expulsion certainly is not an eternity to a 16-year-old kid, it sure feels like it. Listen, educators. I know that their behavior might not be perfect. But it is in those moments that we remove them that they simply cannot learn. It's in those moments when they're kicked out that they are missing out on education. Here's what I'm trying to say. God's mercy is new every morning. So if God, who is perfect, stay with me, if God, who is without sin, if God, who is spotless, can look at you and say, hey, I know you messed up, but I love you anyhow. Come on, can't we as educators begin to look at our young people and say, I know you're not perfect, but I love you anyways. Let me help you to get better. You know what I've discovered? There are legitimately students in our buildings who don't know how to act right. Did you know that? Listen, you just haven't been perfect all your life. You ain't been godly your whole life. Some of you know more than others, but listen, the truth is nobody sitting in this place has been right where they need to be the whole time. You know what happened? Somebody taught you something. Listen, I'm here to honor some educators who would be willing to take a child and say, hey, that's not how we act here. That's not what we do here. That we don't speak like that. Hey, no, we don't act like that. They don't know. There's young people that don't know any better, and they need somebody who'd be willing to sit down with them and be patient with them and just say, hey, you can do better than you're doing right now. You don't have to. You don't have to repeat what's always been. Just because Uncle so-and-so did it, just because your daddy did it, doesn't mean you've got to do it. But somebody has to take time and effort to teach them. Listen, in the Old Testament, we find that it says they talk to them. Come on, but the parents said, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And it says they talked to him in the morning when they got up, and they talked to him at night when they went to bed, and they wrote it on their forehead, and they had it on their arms, that they would know and understand who God is. Listen, our schools are going to do okay teaching what they've got to teach. But can I preach to the church for a moment? There's somebody, whether a young person or an adult, who needs you to teach them what it means to be a follower of Christ. They're not dressing that way because they are being rebellious, but maybe they don't know any better. They're not acting that way to be rebellious. Nobody's taught them. Sometimes we look at behavior and we say, no, that kid's a bad kid. But I wonder if we could get our mind like Jesus, who said, I'm going to have mercy. I said it this morning to the adults that were with us. I said, can you imagine hanging on the cross and looking down and saying, forgive them? He's talking about the people that beat him, that bruised him, that spit on him, that reviled him, that mocked him. And he said, forgive them. And here's why. Because they don't know what they're doing. There are folk that don't know what they're doing. But if the church would be the church, if we would be teachers, if we would be educators and say, hey, I can teach you something. What a difference, what a difference, what a difference it can make. I challenge us to consider then what we are teaching. Paul acknowledged that he learned multiple things. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11. I love this scripture. We talk a lot about it a lot because he talks about being content. But I want you to notice what he says about contentment. He says, I have learned. You know what he's saying? He said, I didn't just get the Holy Ghost to become content. I didn't just automatically become this person who is content with what God is doing in my life. But instead he said, I have learned to become content. There were some things that taught him how to be content. Listen, what I'm trying to tell you is that godly character is not something that just happens. But it's something that we've got to learn and that we've got to teach. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 2 says he learned that it was faith that brought him. He asked, he said, did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? He says, listen, what I have figured out is that you're foolish, Church of Galatia, if you believe that somehow having began in the Spirit, you can now walk in the flesh. What do you say? I figured it out. It's not about this flesh. It's about the Spirit. It's about faith. He says, I've learned it. 2 Timothy 3:7 gives warning of the fact that there are some folk, y'all are in a university town. There are people with multiple doctorate degrees. They don't know Jesus. You could have a high school diploma and be able to teach somebody with multiple doctorate degrees. Because you know about Jesus. You know the schoolmaster. You know the one who made it all. You know the one who is all-knowing, who's all-wise, who's all-powerful, who's omnipresent. You know the one who is the one who put the biology into place. He's the one who put the astrophysicists, all of the laws, and he's the one who put them into place. The law of endodynamic, yeah, that one. I lost it. God put that there. You could teach them something, because there are people who Paul said would be ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of Christ. We understand that we have a responsibility to teach. When we look at this school code that simply says, if you don't come enough, if you don't act right, you can't come. I'm so grateful that the church is not that way, because the issue that I have with this premise is that it doesn't even allow the student to take the final exam. The student is expelled from school, whether or not they know the material, whether or not they'd be able to pass the exam. They can't come any longer because as a result, they're not able to take the exam. They could be halfway through the semester, have their first quarter grade, and they could have all A's, and because of a behavior or because of attendance, they're all of a sudden not allowed to be there. They could be, their midterm grade could be coming through, and you might say, well, I don't know, their midterm grade, they had an F, so they probably weren't going to make it anyways. Halfway through the second quarter, they've got a D minus, they probably weren't going to pass anyways, And my problem with that is simply that we understand that it doesn't really matter. The first quarter grade is not as important as it is when you finally get to the final. Here's what I'm trying to say. Don't you judge that young person right now. Don't you look at that person sitting on the pew right now and just say, well, they're not there yet, so it's done. If they haven't made it yet, if they haven't figured it out yet, well, then just forget about it. But here instead, I'm here to declare to you, it doesn't matter till you get to the final exam. I'm here to tell somebody, your life might be messed up. You might have somebody who's hurting, but it's just the midterm. Just keep pressing. Just keep working. Just keep moving. Because if you can get that young person to the final exam, they've still got a chance. Don't you judge them off their first quarter grades. Don't you tell me as a sophomore they'll never make college. Can I be real with you all? I am very, very aware, as the only African-American male administrator in my district, 26 administrators, 11 buildings, plus more administrators at the Ed Center. The only African-American male administrator, I'm very aware of that many days. Can I tell you what the statistics would have said about my life? Can I tell you that growing up in a single-parent household with just my mom, who got injured when I was about 12, and she went on Social Security, and I grew up on Section 8 housing, and I grew up with a link card, and I grew up with a medical card. Can I tell you what could have been of my life? Can I tell you that there was an image planted in my mind that I wanted to be the next Ice Cube? I wanted to be crip walking. I wanted to be gangster. Come on, y'all might not even know what I'm talking about. That's all right. I wanted to be gangster rapping. But can I tell you that there was a Sunday school teacher who didn't look at the first quarter grades, who didn't look at the first quarter grades. I had a pastor who said, hey, I know he messed up at age 12. I had a Sunday school teacher who said, I know he messed up at age 15, but he's not done yet. And they just kept teaching, and they just kept preaching, and they just kept reaching. And all of a sudden, I'm here on a Sunday morning as a dean of students with a master's degree and a bachelor's degree, living in a house with my family, not because of what this world's done, but because because I had some teachers who believed in me, who said regardless of what you are in the first quarter, it's what the final exam looks like. Would you clap your hands to the Lord right now? May be seated. Ecclesiastes 9:11. I messed that one up. I don't know. Oh, no, there it is. I returned and saw under the sun that the race isn't given to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. Listen, some folk get to jump out the gate. I heard our dear president say that his father helped him out, you know, at the beginning, gave him a small loan of $1 million. He lost that million. Some people to jump out the gate. My father gave me a last name. Hey, and I honor him. Today we have a great relationship. We've built some things. So I don't mean to any disrespect to my father. But he gave me a last name, 3 years, and then he was out. And he'd show up here and there. Some people, though, both parents are right there, golden spoon. They get to jump out to the gate. But listen, none of that matters. Here's what I'm really excited about right now. What I'm really excited about is that my wife and I are apostolic, and we're raising our children as apostolics. They will know who Jesus is. They'll quote scriptures. I've got my two oldest already in Bible quizzing. I'm excited about that. But listen, that means spiritually they're off to a good start. But just the same for them, the race is not given to the swift. It's not just about how we start. You know what Paul said? Paul said it this way. He said, you did run well. I don't ever want anybody to say that. You used to run well. They might say that. I played college football. I used to run well. Now I'm just barely beating my 7-year-old. Got to push him down. Anyway. But Paul said, you did run well. What did hinder you? What stopped you? Listen, I pray for my children every night. God, I pray for the day where they would repent of their sins and be baptized in Jesus' name. And because of their desire for you, they'd receive the Holy Ghost. But I also pray for a godly spouse. I pray for a godly home. I'm not satisfied with my children just starting in church. But I need them to pass the final exam. I need them to get to the very end and to be able to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. 8 years old when I walked into an apostolic church. Here I am 22 years later, so glad I'm here. But the truth of the matter is I'm not done yet. I still got some race left to run. Matthew 24 and verse 13 continues with that same thought. It's not just who starts, but he that shall endure to the end. Listen, even David, I'm getting ready to close, I promise you. Even David, who is a person that the Bible describes as a man after God's own heart, I want you to go with me, if you would, to Psalm 73 and verse 2. Listen to what David says. David, a great warrior. See, some people think of David as just like this poet, but David was a warrior. He was a strong man of God. That's why the Bible said Saul his thousands, but David his 10,000. And yet he got to a place where he said, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. David, when he was just a young man, killed a bear, killed a lion, killed parents. And yet somewhere in life, he said, my feet almost slipped. He said, I almost fell down. I had an A in the first quarter, and I was passing at midterm of second quarter, but I almost got to a place where I fell, verse 17. But he says, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. You know what I think happened? Somebody taught him something. Somebody said, hey, I know that it looks like the enemy is more blessed than you are, but if you'll understand the end of the enemy as opposed to the end of the people of God, what a difference it makes. Just keep running. Just make it to the final exam. If you stop David at Bathsheba, if you just judge him there, he doesn't make it. If you stop Moses when he murders the Egyptian, you judge him there, he doesn't make it. If you stop Peter when he denied Christ, there is no, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized. There is no message preached on the day of Pentecost that sees thousands added to the church. Listen, in our parable that we read today, he agrees and he says that those of you who have been here from the beginning of the day, you'll make a denarius a day. Those from the third hour, you'll get what's right. The sixth hour and the ninth hour, you'll get what's right. The 11th hour, you just come on in, you work this last hour. And the idea here is simply that whenever you come in, he can take care of you. But I want you to understand, here's what Jesus is saying. Just make it. Teachers, just drag them, pull them. Even if they just get in at the 11th hour, there's a reward for them. If you can just get them ready for the final exam, if you can just be ready for when the trumpet sounds, if you can just, I know they messed up. I know they've walked away. Some folk exclude themselves. Some folk walk out the door on their own. But if you can just get them in, whatever you gotta do, young people, this is just the first quarter. But if you'll make it to the final exam, there's a grade waiting for you. There's streets of gold waiting for you. There's pearly gates waiting for you. There's a crystal sea waiting for you. There's a throne waiting for you. There's a God waiting for you who's just saying, hey, just make it to the final exam. I'll get you in. I'll prepare you. You'll be ready. Some of us here today, we're looking at our own report. And if we're honest with ourselves, we only see negative. We see where we've messed up. We struggle with where we've been sinful. You see how you've done on the exam so far. Say, man, I haven't passed a single one of the exams. Let me remind somebody that as long as you're still hearing my voice, you're only at the midterm. There's still a chance. Would you stand to your feet with me? What's more than that is that the truth of the matter is you don't have to grade yourself. Remember an art class where you got an A, even though your apple looked more like an orange? Art teachers, they're gracious. I sincerely believe that teachers, that educators, are one of the best representations of grace. Ma'am, you said you're an assistant principal. High school, middle school, elementary. I tell you what, I've discovered even at the elementary schools, we're having some kids who are coming in with some issues. Anybody ever swung on you? Anybody, any of them ever cursed at you? When they came back to school, did you still love them? One of the best representations of grace. Think about that teacher you were disrespectful to. You know who I'm talking about. The one who's done nothing but be nice to you and tried to help you, and yet you were disrespectful. You lied and you said she signed your pass. She didn't. But when you came in, she forgave you. Here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, if your earthly fathers, when you're hungry, if they give you bread instead of a rock, how much more? How much more will your heavenly Father take care of you? Listen, we honor educators, and I'm here to tell you there's a schoolmaster who says, listen, I'm not interested in your attendance up to this point. I'm not interested in your behavior up to this point. But here's what I want you to know. If you'll come to me, I'll prepare you for the final exam. I'll get you ready. Already he's given us written instructions. He said, godly sorrow leadeth to repentance. He said, I know you feel bad about maybe what you said or what you did, but don't you worry about that. You just come into this altar and you just lift up your hands and you just lift up your voice and you just say, God, just forgive me. God, just help me. I want to do better. I want to pass the test. I want to be ready for the final exam. Somebody close your eyes even right now. Educators, I want to speak a special word to you right now. Every parent of a child, every public school teacher, every Sunday school teacher, I want you to hear this. Whether you know it or not, God has sent you as a representative of Him. You stand in a place of authority. And there are going to be children who are going to look to you. And they're going to expect of God what they see in you. So what will you show them? Will you show them love? Will you show them mercy? Will you show them kindness? Will you prepare them for life's test? If your answer is yes, I wonder if you wouldn't mind stepping out of your seat right now and coming down into this altar. I want you to come. I want you to come. I want you simply to say, I will do it. I'll prepare them. I'll prepare them. I'll work. I'll work. And as you prepare them, just know this. God is saying, I want to prepare you. Anybody else looking to make sure you get to the final exam, would you step out of your seat right now and would you come into this altar and you can simply lift up your hands and begin to talk to the Lord and simply say, God, have mercy on me. I know I've failed some tests. I know I've messed up. God, I know I've walked in some places I shouldn't have been. But God, if you would prepare me right now. Listen, I don't care how long you've been in Pentecost. I'm here to let you know God's got something for you in this altar. He's got a young person for you to reach. He's got a neighbor for you to reach. He's got a test for you to pass. Or would you simply ask Him, prepare me, prepare me. Prepare me. Prepare me. Oh, would you talk to Him right now?
Amen. Thank you, Pastor, for a word of hope. That's what I heard today, is a word of hope. The grace of God. Scripture says, comforted are they, or blessed are they, happy are they, whose hope is the Lord. Amen. And I'm thankful for that great message from the Word of God today. So true. It's in environments like this, it's in your investment when you come to the house of God, whenever. It's a small segment of time, really, to be concentrated on the Word of God, the Spirit of God, in fellowship, the dynamics that God ordained. But it's a great investment because it's in environments like this that futures receive direction. Futures receive guidance. Futures receive favor. Futures receive blessing in environments like this. Amen? I'm blessed to be in the house of the Lord today. And again, what a privilege it's to have the McDavids with us again. And I believe he's the man for the hour. Amen. We have a special gift for someone. I think this was drawn, right? All right. This is a special gift for somebody, a guest educator today, Tim Allen. Are you in the house? Tim Allen? Don't need to be present. Wait a minute, I just heard you preach, man. You got to be here for the final exam. I may recant that. One more time for Tim Allen. We'll get it to him. Tim. Is Tim in the house? Man. What does it say, bro? It says, Al, that's Tim Arnold. We're glad you're here. Matter of fact, he knows this for a fact. I looked right at him. I thought that was him. All right. It's kind of like I introduced myself the other day to somebody. They said, hello, what's your name? I said, my name's David. They said, hi, Dave. I go, as long as we know the name of Jesus, we'll be all right. Amen. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Let's give him thanks as we depart today. Father, again, we thank you for the great privilege we have to be in this house, literally, to be, but especially to be of the household of the saints, to be ready for that final exam, that moment, Lord, that we will hear you say, well done. That's what we're striving for. That's what we're living for. That's what we're hoping for. That's what we believe. I thank you for every blessing. Thank you for every class, every session that's going on today. We thank you for your presence and your blessing. We ask now, God, that you'll go with us throughout this day with your presence in Jesus' name. And somebody said amen. Amen. God bless you. Be sure and pick up some of the invites that you can invite people to All Nations Day coming up on May 20th. God bless you.